to open Sunday school this morning. Yesterday I was asked. I started thinking about a little experience I used to have when I was a child. I often on Sunday morning heard somebody singing a song that stuck in my memory. It's not on the hymn sheet, but I'm going to suggest we sing it. I'm going to start singing it, and some of you will recognize it, and we'll sing it through twice. Heavenly sunshine,
heavenly sunshine, filling my soul with glory divine.
Heavenly sunshine, heavenly sunshine, hallelujah, Jesus is mine. Again, heavenly sunshine, heavenly sunshine. Filling my soul with glory divine. Heavenly sunshine, heavenly sunshine. Hallelujah, Jesus is mine.
Now, you know, I used to hear that on the radio on Sunday mornings. I imagine there's others here that did too. And I feel sorry for some boys and girls that never learned that song. But I think it's a wonderful song to start the Lord's Day with. Because, you know, this morning we got up and it was a beautiful day. But even if it had been cloudy, it's still a beautiful day. Because today is the Lord's Day. And God loves us. And that's what really counts. You know, there's a big word in that song. Hallelujah. We pronounce it in English with an H. Now that H is actually should be silent, and some people make an issue about that. God doesn't. What does hallelujah mean? Who knows what hallelujah means?
Praise the Lord.
That's right. Praise the Lord, or praise ye the Lord. It's an old Hebrew expression. Just think, people have been saying hallelujah for 4,000 years. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, now we'll concentrate on the hymns on the back of the sheet. You can pick a hymn from anywhere in what's called an 8-page hymn sheet. But we'll concentrate on the back page. Who has a choice? All right. Number 41.
Around the throne of God in heaven will many children sing. Children whose sins are all forgiven will heavenly anthems ring, singing glory, glory, glory be to God on high. In shining robes of
white, each one will be arrayed. What does arrayed mean? arrayed. Dressed up. That's right. Not just dressed, but dressed up. Now, some here are really dressed up, more dressed up than I am. But someday, all of us who are in glory, we're going to be equally well-dressed. This says in robes, in shining robes of spotless white, each one will be arrayed, because that's what suits heaven. I'm going there. Are you? You going to be dressed up like that someday? You're going to be dressed up in the shining robes of spotless white? All right, how about another choice? All right.
Number 47.
When he cometh,
much about crowns and jewels, at least not as much in this country as they do over there. We have a president, and I don't know if he wears any jewels or not. He may have one or two rather discreet ones. But when I was over in England about 13 years ago, I had a little bit of time to go to the Tower of London. And in the Tower of London, which is actually the name of a fortress or a prison on the banks of the Thames, they had a section, a place, a building, room, whatever you want to call it, reserved for displaying the crown jewels. Over the centuries, the kings and queens of England had collected these jewels. And they were gorgeous. This room, when you went into it, and that was all that was on display, was these crowns and scepters and various pieces of jewelry with large gems in them. And that was one of the glories of the British Empire, to have a collection of jewelry like that. Because most people can't afford that kind of thing. And there was just so much there. It was overwhelming. I have no idea what the value was in that room. But they had lots of guards around. And I know it was worth a lot. And there were a lot of people there really admiring those things, and I'm not really, I mean, I don't generally stop to look at things in jewelry stores, and I didn't spend a lot of time in the Tower of London either. I wasn't so much impressed with the jewels as just the fact that they had them. And the number of guards that were around there, and I thought it was more interesting with all these people gaping at them. Because, you know, when we get to heaven, we're going to see a lot better things there. And just think, that we, and this is what the Bible says. No, let's just read it. Malachi chapter 4. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter, it's chapter 3, I'm sorry, the end of chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16, "And they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name, and they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels." And so God looks at us as jewels, precious possessions. You know what jewels do? One thing I noticed in this place in London, they had lots of lights. And they made the jewels sparkle. They reflected the light. And that is what God intends us to be. Jewels that reflect the light of His glory. All right. Another song.
Number
45. Number 45. Okay. I didn't see a hand, but that'll do. Number 45. Now, this is a song about everybody here, because everybody's got two eyes, and two ears, and two feet, and two hands, and one tongue. So, let's everybody sing it.
Two little eyes, two tongues.
To the Lord Jesus, "Lord Jesus, here's my hands, here's my eyes, my feet, my heart, my tongue, Lord Jesus, they're yours." Have you ever said that to the Lord Jesus? You should. You know, when I trusted the Lord Jesus as my Savior, I became His spirit, soul, and body. Our bodies belongs to the Lord Jesus too. And He has a right to do with them what He wants to do with them. All right, we have time for one more. There's a hand, yes. What number?
50.
50? I think that's a little bit high for this hymn sheet. Let's try another one. What number? 44. Okay, this is a true story, by the way. This is a true story about there was a man who, I assume it was a man, I actually don't know, come think of it. It was a person who visited a place where gypsies camp. And we don't know much about gypsies these days. But over in England particularly, and over in Europe, there were people called gypsies. And they came, basically, they came from India many centuries ago. And they spread across Europe, and they were largely beggars and people that did odd jobs, and they traveled around from place to place. They would live in tents and so on. And so this man, about a century ago, was visiting a tent, a gypsy camp, and found a little boy who was dying and never heard about Jesus. Number 44.
"Into a tent where a gypsy boy lay, lying alone at the close of the day. News of salvation we carried then he, nobody ever had told it to me. Tell it again, salvation. Story repeat more and more.
Song, you were given a clue as to what verse this person who visited the tent gave this boy. Who knows what verse it would have been? Yes?
John 3:16.
Yeah, that's right. John 3:16. Notice in verse 2, need I not perish? And John 3:16 says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And we have God sent his son whosoever. So he's thinking about what he heard. Verse John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Wonderful news to a boy who's dying. You know, we're all dying. Yes, we are. Every one of us here is dying. We need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We don't look like we're dying. I don't see anybody here who looks like in imminent danger of death. But we don't know. But every one of us is headed toward death. We're dying in that sense. All right. I think maybe we'll have time to sing one or two more later. But right now, let's ask God's help in the Sunday school. Our God and Father, we thank you so much this morning. For giving the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for loving us so much that you would give anything. But you gave your only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, Father, we ask your help this morning that each of us here might understand these words according to our capacity, we might open our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now we have a memory verse this morning from the same chapter as John 3:16. And how many here know it? Hold up your hand if you think you know it. Very good. Well, I'll tell you what, who wants to start? Who would like to start? Hold up your hand if you want to start. All right, go right ahead. Very good.
He that believes on the Son has everlasting life, but he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him, John 3:36.
He that believes on the Son has everlasting life, but he that
Okay, we'll just keep going around on the front row. You want to try? Okay. Go ahead. You want to try it? Okay. All right.
John 3:36.
Anybody else? Okay, we'll up this front row. How about here? You want to try? Okay, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 3:36. Okay, that's good. Want to try? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God. Wrath of God. John 3:36. Good. Anybody else on the front row? Okay. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God, wrath abideth on him. John 3:36.